Good morning, everybody. Today is October 18th, 2022. It is 10:03 in the morning. There is a quorum present, and we're going to go ahead and call this meeting to order. You can all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. All right, we're going to move on to item number three, which is discussion for possible action, consideration of possible approval of the agenda for October 18th, 2022. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about today's agenda?
No, thank you, none.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell.
Nor do I. Thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? As a reminder, folks on Zoom can use the raise your hand feature. For those of you calling in, can use star six to unmute yourself. And Clerk Hindle, I'll ask that you notify me if there's any public comment, please.
Will do. Nothing at the moment, Mr. Chair.
All right, not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve today's agenda as presented.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number four, this is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of the minutes for the September 20, 2022 meeting. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments about those minutes?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't. Thank you.
All right. Let's take public comment on these minutes for September 20. Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah, I move to approve the minutes from this commission September 20th, 2022 meeting as presented.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number five is today's consent agenda. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding today's consent agenda?
No, sir. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions about today's consent agenda?
No, thank you.
All right. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve today's consent agenda as presented.
Second the motion.
All right, there's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving right along to item number six today is public comment. Public comment will be allowed at the beginning and end of each meeting. This comment should be limited to matters not on today's calendar agenda. Public comment will be allowed after each item on the agenda. These comments should be limited to the agendized topic. With that stated, is there any public comment today?
Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hindle. Moving right along then to item number seven. This is discussion only. No action, no public comment will be taken. These are committee and staff reports. And we are going to go ahead and start off with the Story County Sheriff's Office.
Okay, today, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Sheriff. Moving right along to the Story County Fire Protection District.
Good morning, Commissioner. Jeremy Longcar for the record. Just a real brief update is last week, the Story County Fire Protection District spent times in the schools discussing Fire Prevention Week. And that's our time to interact with the youth and just educate them on the dangers, fires, and how to escape them and how to be safe. And all while we're doing this, here in northern Nevada, our neighbors lost four historical structures that are now gone forever. Central Lyon County lost three and Carson City lost one. And I think it's good that we remind ourselves, and not just our homes, but our businesses, and for the adults as well, is that take this time in October to look around and try to keep your house fire safe. Take some of that knowledge your kids learned in the schools and apply it at home. I know we teach and we send a lot of stuff home, and most time it ends up probably in a backpack under their bed or stuff somewhere. But it's just really important that these structures cannot be replaced. So we need to have our part and make sure that we ensure Story County is safe and we can keep our historical buildings in place. And that's all I have. And I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Chief. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for the fire chief today?
No, thank you. No questions.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for the chief today?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again for that report, Chief. And I wholeheartedly agree. You know, be a shame to lose any of our structures in VC again. Anyway, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Moving right along to Story County Public Works. Jason Wersbicki.
Morning, Chairman, Commissioners. Just a quick report. The guys finished up doing some park work down there at Mark Twain. Redid some planter boxes, DG, some new plants. Park looks great. And then my road crew, they've been overcoming some staffing issues, as the whole department at this time is experiencing staffing issues, but they've been overcoming it and just killing widening and getting 6 Mile Canyon straightened up. That's all I have at this point in time.
Thank you for that update, Jason. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Jason?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman?
No, thank you.
All right. Jason, I do just want to extend that thank you to you and your staff. The park looks fantastic down there. From the recent social media post, I think the residents are equally as happy. So thanks for your work down there. The park looks great.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Moving right along to projects coordinator, Mike Northan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing to report today.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Moving on to Story County Communications, we have Becky Parsons.
Hello, Becky Parsons for the record. I just wanted to report that one of my staff members and I went to our annual conference for a computer-aided dispatch system. We're able to bring back a lot of good information so we can work harder and easier, faster. So that's all I have to report.
All right. Thank you, Becky. Appreciate that. Moving right along to Business Development Director and Emergency Management Coordinator, Laura Mather.
Good morning. Thank you, Laura Mather, for the record. Starting with emergency management, the week of October 3rd, I was on a 40-hour class with the Nevada Department of Emergency Management. This is part of the requirements for the EMPG grant, which is Emergency Management Performance Grant. This grant pays a portion of the emergency manager's salary. So what I'm seeing is as more funding is coming down through the federal government to the state agencies, they are requiring more and more reporting and tracking and justification of the funding that we are receiving. So joy for that. Since Dave Fogerson took over as chief for the State Department of Emergency Management, they've really made some major changes. They are more involved in what the counties and the cities are doing for emergency management. And this was all part of that 40-hour training. So we talked about the DEM staff, the changes that they've had, what their duties are, how they can assist the counties and cities in an emergency. So that part was great to go over, even though it was virtual. You know, I kind of sort of met them in person. We also went over our THIRA, which is our Threat and Hazard Identification and Risk Assessment. And this is also so that all of the counties have an idea of what the adjoining and surrounding counties are, what our threats are, and for the state emergency management to have an understanding of how they can help us and what we need to do to reach out to them for assistance. Then the following week, I had an additional two-hour training on the exact same grant, which went over all of the additional reporting requirements that we have to do for that particular grant. In addition, Carson City Health and Human Services is in the process of creating their COVID-19 after action report. So we've been involved in that. The process began with an online survey that I did on how we work together, any suggestions that I had. And then that will continue with in-person meetings as they develop their after action report. As you can imagine, it was a three-year process and so or event. And so it's going to be kind of a long involved process to go through the whole COVID sort of response, recovery, how to prevent it in the future or how to best respond to it. We can't prevent it. So we are also working with Carson City Health and Human Services on their hazard vulnerability assessment. So this is very specific to their agency and what they do with Health and Human Services, but it has to do with what sort of emergencies that we have that they would assist with. So for instance, they hold the key to certain antidotes for specific types of chemical interaction or you know, any a chemical spill that affects a person. They have the key that we would have to go through them for antidotes for specific types of chemicals. So we're in the process of reporting to them any incidents that we've had hazardous material related through the past year. Moving on to grant reporting. So I've sort of held on to the USDA grants that I started with when I was community relations coordinator, and they've kind of moved with me as I go through my career with Story County. Now, Honey will have the grand pleasure of handling any new ones that come in, but I'm still sort of working on the reporting. So for two of the USDA loans, we are in our three-year requirement. So every 3 years, for the various USDA loans, we have to do site inspections. So they want to make sure that whatever the loan paid for, we're taking care of that. You know, we're taking care of it. We're accounting for it. So they will do site inspections. The two loans that they're working on currently is the water project that was kind of in several phases, and then some fire equipment that was purchased in 2015. So part of this compliance is they want to make sure that we are compliant with all of our Title VI. So that is race and ethnicity identification and tracking, also our ADA requirements. So they're going to go through, make sure that we have posters on the walls that we're supposed to have, make sure our ADA compliance that we're supposed to have is in place. Us being a historic district, it's kind of unique for Pierre, who's our contact with the USDA, as he comes through and does these inspections. He's from Los Angeles, so I'm not sure he's really used to these kind of historic buildings and how we deal with USDA compliance for that. I'm sorry, ADA compliance for that. Moving on to business development. So I have been learning a lot about workforce development. Since my last report, I've met with Nevada Department of Employment Training and Rehabilitation, and we had a long discussion about what exactly it is that they do, how they can help both employers and employees, how I can sort of be that that bridge to the businesses and the employees here in Story County to get them connected to resources. I also, as Honey mentioned in the last commissioner's meeting, we attended the governor's infrastructure conference. Part of that conference was also workforce development. And so it was interesting to hear about all areas of the state of Nevada and how they're struggling with workforce, unemployment, those kind of things. So it's all been really educational on my part on how that process works and how I can help, again, both employers and employees. And then tomorrow I'm going to be heading to Truckee Meadows Community College. I'm going to meet with their industrial arts staff. They're going to give me a tour of their facility, what they offer, and again, how they can help us as a county for both employers and employees. I continue to provide assistance and answer questions for new and potential businesses. And I want to thank everybody in the county. You know, as I've mentioned before, we all work as a team. So I'll have an employer call and ask me a question, and I can call, you know, planning or IT or community development. It's just, it's really great how we work together, and I feel very comfortable reaching out to everybody to help me answer these questions. As we are working on the white paper, which we've talked about in past meetings, I've come across some really interesting statistics. So I'm at the point where I'm working on gathering numbers based on our budgets, on our past audits, those kind of things to help to support our white paper. So one of the tables that I was working on has to do with our sales tax revenue and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center zip code. So in 2018, we were able to secure the new zip code for McCarran, Nevada, the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Prior to securing that zip code, between 2010 and 2017, our average sales tax increase per year was 1.98%, or approximately $1.9 million. Now, that varied through the years during that time period, depending on obviously what was going on in the economy. Between 2017 and 2018, though, our sales tax revenue increased by 42% once that zip code came into place. Now, obviously, I'm not accounting all of that to the zip code change. You know, there are businesses that moved into the area and those kind of things, but it is substantial. And then between 2018 and 2020, our average increase in sales tax per year was 23.46%, or $3.6 million. So, you know, it's obvious that zip code change really made a difference. Now, one of the things that I do know as somebody who shops regularly is that there are still companies out there that are using the old zip code. So that's one of the things that I'm going to start doing as time allows, is reaching out to these companies one-on-one, finding their corporate office, that decision maker who can help us transition the companies that are located there into using that new zip code. It's obviously very important. And I think if I can show the numbers, that will help them understand how important it is to Story County, but also to the business itself, because there are certain areas where it's going to be cheaper for them, frankly, to use the correct zip code. Moving on to our appropriations. So I continue to track our three projects that have made it to that final phase of the federal community projects, or what we refer to as appropriations. So just as a reminder, that's the Lockwood Senior Center, the Virginia City Fire Station, and the water and electrical upgrades to the fairgrounds. So we continue to have our biweekly calls with the Porter Group. They keep us apprised of everything that's going on at the federal level, what's going on with the budget. I also am keeping in contact with the federal congressional staff. Every once in a while, I reach out to them. I either give them a call or send them an email and say, hey, just checking in with you guys. You know, let me know if you need anything further from us. I'm happy to. And anytime I see anybody, I always go up to them, the congressional members, reintroduce myself. I don't ever expect somebody to just remember who I am, and just, you know, remind them who I am and that I'm here for Story County. And, oh, by the way, don't forget all that money we need. That's the end of my report.
Thank you very much for that. Excuse me, Laura. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Laura Mather after that report? You're on mute, Lance.
Sorry about that. Laura, I just want to thank you for all the effort that you're putting in, the research, the meetings. You're really putting Story County out on the under the spotlight and on the first burner. And thank you so much. You're investing a lot of time, and we're the beneficiary of all that. So very personal. Thank you.
Thank you. I have to admit, I love my job. I'm having a ball with this. So
it certainly shows. I love that.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Lance. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Laura?
I don't have anything. Thank you.
All right. And nor do I. Again, thank you for that report. Much appreciated. Appreciate you handling two positions right now, too.
Thank you.
Moving right along to community relations, Honey Menifee.
Good morning, Honey Menifee, for the record. I wanted to update you about the community project grants. Lockwood, they were awarded the funding to start mitigating the noxious weeds on the Truckee River and the Long Valley Creek. They are beginning their first phase. Their project's a little unique because of the living nature of their project. Phase one, they're gonna just be going in this fall and starting to clean up the area. And in the spring is the best time to do the herbicide spraying to reduce the noxious weeds. And then you have to wait a bit after that to be able to reseed the area with native plants. So they're on phase one for the fall. And part of what they requested for the grant was equipment for their volunteers to be able to go out and do the work. So we went and purchased like rakes, hand pruners, hand saws, some smaller, you know, hand tools and gloves and trash bags and things like that to be able to start the cleanup process. And a crew of I wasn't sure how many actually participated, but they had a huge volunteer crew that started on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to hearing the progress that they made on that, and they were going to take photos so that we can kind of document this journey of cleaning up that water area. The Highlands Pinion Park, they were awarded funding to be able to place park benches in along the walking trail that they had completed last year through this grant. There are going to be three benches in different locations, and Collins Construction is our contractor, and they have already poured the slabs that will be going under the benches. So the slabs are in, and I went out yesterday and looked at them, and they look fantastic. The park benches have been ordered, and they will be ready for pickup next week sometime, and then they'll be installed, and then that project will be completed for the Highlands. For Virginia City, the E. Vitus Clampers, Julia Bullet, chapter. They're still working with the property owners to secure the locations for their two plaques that they're going to have the monuments built and placed. So we're working with them and just waiting to hear back. Moving on to our water system utility report. So annually, the State Department of Emergency Management requires that we submit an emergency response plan for our water utility and also a vulnerability assessment. So I reviewed last year's both documents and updated the plan and the vulnerability assessment, and then it was reviewed and signed by Jason Worsbecky and then Laura Mather. And last week I submitted the plan to the Department of Emergency Management. So that is that those assessments are done for this year. And then for professional development, 2 weeks ago, I attended a grant management class in Las Vegas. It's through Grant Writing USA, and they're a national training program for they specifically teach people how to best manage federal grants. And so there was a lot of knowledge on statutes and regulations and things like that that are necessary for reporting and be, you know, from start to finish, learning how to manage and best tackle federal grants, because, you know, each grant is a little different and they're pretty intricate. So that was a good program. I completed the class and was given my certificate for that. But also, just as a side note, bizarrely, I ran into Congressman Amade at TSA PreCheck. So I went up to him and introduced myself again as a Story County representative and got to talk to him a little bit. He asked some questions about how we're doing with various things. And so anyway, that was a unique opportunity to once again bring Story County to the forefront of his attention in that matter. But that is the end of my report.
Thank you for that report, Honey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Honey at this time?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Honey?
No, thank you.
All right. Thanks again, honey. Appreciate the hard work and appreciate your report. Moving right along to the VCTC. Do we have somebody on board from that department? No. Let's move on to the comptroller's office. Comptroller McCain.
Good morning, everyone. Jennifer McCain, comptroller for the record. Not sure where to look. Just a couple little things. I wanted to let you know that the audit is on track. I spoke with our auditor yesterday, and he's currently confident that we'll be finished on time, which is always good news. I wanted to let you know that I am aware that today should have been my quarterly financial report, but with how things have been going the last month or so, I know I'm late. I plan on having that to you the first meeting in November. As well, I would like to let you know that I went with County Manager Austin Osborne and two of his staff, Brandy and Nettie, to the Pool Pack conference last week. We got some really good information as far as risk management and HR ideas, and we're looking forward to implementing some of these creative things that we've learned to not only retain our staff, but fill our open positions. Austin probably has more on that in a little bit, maybe. And other than that, I have nothing else.
Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Comptroller McCain?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you again, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the recorder's office, Recorder McPherson.
Good morning. I have nothing to report today. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Moving on to the IT department, IT Director James Dean.
Good morning, Commissioners. James Dean, Story County IT Director. Calling in from Switch this morning. We are currently racking up our hardware in the Switch data center. So I got Tim down there installing hardware in the cold aisle, and I'm going to head down there shortly after this meeting and help him lift some of the heavy equipment up into that rack. The sewer treatment tower is completely operational. We have a one link up and running and plan to move two more onto that tower this Friday. And that's all I have today. Thank you.
Thank you, James. That's wonderful news. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for James?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have anything for James?
Thank you.
Was that a no?
No, thank you.
All right, thank you. Thanks again for that update, James. Good luck down there today. Moving right along to Human Resources. All right, we'll move on to Community Development. I believe Austin has taken this one this morning.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, how are you? Austin Osborne for the record. I'm going to speak on behalf of Pete Renault today. He just wants to let you know that Brian Sandoval has decided to take employment with Story County as a building inspector. So we're really looking forward to working with him. He's got a great background. I think a lot of people know him. He'll be starting off on residentials. And then also two more inspectors are getting a bunch of training. One of them is getting plumbing and mechanical certifications. That'll get him into more of that commercial stuff there. And then our nuisance officer is taking two major classes on kicking up certifications for nuisances and abatement and the process for getting him through the pre-prosecution trial system. So that should be really helpful in his department.
All right. Is that the final report, Austin?
That is a report for community development.
All right. I may be a bit unclear, but was I missing some sort of Sandoval joke? Are we really hiring Sandoval?
Yes, we are, but not the prior governor.
Gotcha. Thank you. Just had to clarify. I know we're a hot commodity, but Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin at this moment?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, you have anything for Austin?
No, thank you.
All right. Moving right along, we're going to go to Community Chest. I believe I saw Eric Schoen. Maybe not. How about, I know we have Nora with us from the Fourth Ward School. Nora, would you like to jump on?
Of course. Good morning. Thank you, Commissioners. Nora Seff for the record. I'm going to give you some updates regarding the Story County Building Restoration Support. First of all, I would like to thank the Story County and the commissioners for supporting the south side elevation of the building. Some updates on the south side elevation is moving along. This week, believe it or not, we will start painting the south side below the mansard roof gutter. The mansard roof rehabilitation will start in the spring due to weather conditions. We don't want to start dealing with the roof in the middle of winter. So we're going to postpone that until the spring. At this point, we've used $77,943 out of the $166,000 support that you have, supported us. Moving along with the east side, the updates regarding the east side elevation rehabilitation granted by the Nevada State Historic Preservation of $305,000 is going well. So we kind of have started simultaneously working the process from the south to the east side, rehabilitating the east and south elevations. So a good update also, we had the honor in September to tour the museum, Commissioner Robert Stoldall from the Commission and Cultural Centers and former Senator Bryan and Preserve Nevada at the museum. They were all very pleased, and they were very pleased about all our programming that we've been doing and the rehabilitation of the building. Some other updates from our last year-end campaign, we raised money to install heaters, seating heaters inside the museum for the front desk. So we are extending the museum hours and dates past October 31st, which is our official closing date. We're going to continue until December 12th, I believe, to have the museum open. However, it's going to be Friday through Monday from 11 to 3 p.m. And of course, if weather allows, if we have storms, unfortunately, we're now going to be able to be open. And we will also we're also going to inform the visitor center on our opening hours and days. And lastly, I would like to share that our Halloween ball that is coming up on October 29th, that event is sold out. And on November 11th, we are hosting the third swing dancing event that will start at 6:30. And if anyone is interested, tickets are online or through our website. And that's it. Thank you so much for giving me the time to give you the updates. If you have any questions, please.
Thank you, Nora. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Nora?
Thank you, Nora, for that nice update. Appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Nora?
I don't have any questions, but I will comment in support of the swing dancing. As some may or may not know, that's a passion of mine. And so my wife and I are going to be teaching a lesson at that. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. So it's a great event for a great cause. We had a fantastic time the last time that I was there doing that, had a full room. And so would love to see a bunch of people there.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chairman. I'll pass this time, but next time, promise.
That's what you said last time, Charlie.
You and your good memory. Thank you again for that update, Nora.
Thank you.
Moving right along to the senior center, Stacey York.
Good morning, Stacey York for the record. Tomorrow we are hosting another flu shot clinic with a COVID booster clinic at the VC Senior Center. It's from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. On Friday, we are having another flu shot clinic as well as booster at the Mark Twain Community Center from 1 to 2:30. And then on November 9th, we are doing a resource fair down at the Mark Twain Community Center. It'll include over 20 vendors, and they range from different local county agencies, state agencies, health and human services, and that'll be from 12 to 6 on November 9th. And that is it for today.
Thank you very much for that update, Stacey. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Stacey?
No questions, thank you.
All right, Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Stacey?
No, thank you.
All right, thanks again for that update. Let's see. How about we go to the DA's office?
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
All right, thank you, Keith. How about the county manager? What do you have for us today, Austin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. I'll let you know that we were able to provide a conditional letter offer to a human resources director. We did extensive interviewing for months and months on this one. I want to thank this board for the funds necessary to find a headhunter for a person. I'll let you know that we were able to work with Nevada Dieter, John Perrell, and his team to headhunt. They were very helpful, and it cost $0. So that $15,000 will be put back into the general fund. So thank you very much, and let's hope for the best in going through the final stages of this process.
Wonderful news. Is that the end of your report?
That is all.
All right. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin?
I have no questions. Thank you, Austin.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything for Austin?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again. And good luck. Glad we got an HR candidate ready to jump in. Let's see. Last but not least, the clerk treasurer, Jim Hindle.
Jim Hindle, Story County Clerk Treasurer. Just want to remind everybody that we are in the full swing for our election season. Ballots dropped into mailboxes this last weekend and beginning of the week. We will start early voting on Saturday. So the slammer is going to be out of museum commission starting Friday as we set up equipment, and we'll be going through November 4th. So the slammer will have early voting every day except Sundays. And we will also have early voting in Lockwood on Saturdays at the fire station. And that will, again, will go through November 4th. And then we will have Election Day on November 8th, when we will have polling places set up, the Slammer, Lockwood Fire Station, Mark Twain Community Center, and the Highlands Fire Station Community Center on Cartwright. So just wanted to make sure, we've been fielding a lot of phone calls about mail-in ballots and about election process and polling places. Please encourage anybody with questions to contact the clerk's office. We're more than happy to address all questions about the situation. We will, of course, not provide voting recommendations, but we want to make sure people feel confident in how to place their vote and how to get their vote cast and counted. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jim. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Clerk Hindle? Clerk Treasurer Hindle?
Thank you, Jim.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, anything?
No questions. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again, Jim. All right. Moving on to that'll conclude committee and staff reports. We're going to move on to item number 8, which is board comment. I'll start off to my virtual left, Commissioner Gilman.
Nothing today. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you. Vice Chairman Mitchell.
The only thing I wanted to mention, and I hope I'm not stealing your thunder, Chairman, is, you know, we got to attend a really heartwarming community event this week where the Comstock, 109 Comstock ladies presented almost $30,000 worth of awards to different youth and school organizations that they had raised through their efforts in the community. And everything from sports teams to lunch programs to the Angel Tree. They're going to be providing an age-appropriate gift and a warm piece of clothing for 75 children this year, which is a substantial increase from what they've done in the past. So anyway, there was a little bit of news coverage on it, but it was very, very much the type of event that reminds you of community spirit and was really a pleasure to be able to attend that. So that's the only thing I have.
Thank you, Vice Chairman. And I'm glad you brought that up. We will be having the 109 Comstock ladies at the beginning of the year. We will have them on the agenda, and they'll come in and give us all sort of a better in-depth explanation of what they do. I know, like you and Commissioner Gilman, we're all very fortunate to have a group like this in our county. They are some hardworking folks, and definitely giving money out to some kids that do need it, and definitely put it to good use. So thank you again for bringing that up. On a more somber note, I would like to note the passing of two Story County residents. The first being Bill Clark. Bill was a longtime G Posse member, as well as a longtime resident of Virginia City. We also lost Thomas Faber, who is a Highlands resident and has been out here for quite some time as well. Started doing this a while back, and unfortunately I had hoped to only do it once or twice, but it seems to be a little more common these days. If there's anybody that I missed, my apologies. Feel free to reach out to me directly if you'd like me to, cover anybody's passing in future commission meetings. But just wanted to take a moment to remember those folks. That is all I have today. So with that said, we're going to move on to item number 9, which is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval to declare November 7th through Veterans Day, November 11th, 2022, in support of Operation Greenlight for Veterans. I believe Honey has taken this.
Yes, Honey Menifee for the record. And this is a topic that's close to my heart personally. I mean, I know a lot of us probably know people that have served in the armed forces, and most recently, both of my sons served for many years. And a lot of times when the military members get out, it's a difficult transition back into their homes and communities, and times have changed, and what they have seen also changes them. I feel like it's very important to continue to remember our veterans who may often not speak out loudly about things that may affect them or may not. But this year, the National Association of Counties, or NACO, and the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers, they're encouraging counties to show support for their veterans by lighting county buildings green from November 7th through November 13th. They're also inviting businesses and residents to also light their buildings and homes green. And just by shining this light, veterans can know that they are seen and appreciated and still supported, regardless of political beliefs. So we will be lighting the outside of the courthouse green. And I've been working with Jeff Holman, and we've figured out how best to light the courthouse without changing anything structurally. And we've purchased some green light bulbs that will be going in the existing lights that are on the outside of the front walkway, just to light up that building. And so, yes, we're just considering that, or asking that you would approve this. And if so, I can read the resolution.
Sure, go ahead and read the resolution.
Okay. This is resolution number 22660. It's a resolution supporting veterans through Operation Greenlight for Veterans, whereby businesses and residents are encouraged to demonstrate their support of veterans by displaying a green light in the window of their residence or business from October, well, NACO as a whole is doing October through November 11th. So whereas the residents of Story County have great respect, admiration, and the utmost gratitude for all men and women who have selflessly served our country and this community in the armed forces. And whereas the contributions and sacrifices of the men and women who served in the armed forces have been vital in maintaining the freedoms and way of life enjoyed by our citizens. And whereas Story County seeks to honor these individuals who have paid the high price for freedom by placing themselves in harm's way for the good of all. And whereas veterans continue to serve our community in the American Legion, veterans of foreign wars, religious groups, civil service, and whereas approximately 200,000 service members transition to civilian communities annually, and whereas an estimated 20% increase of service members will transition to civilian life in the near future. And whereas studies indicate that 44 to 72% of service members experience high levels of stress during transition from military to civilian life. And whereas active military service members transitioning from military service are at high risk for suicide during their first year after military service. And whereas the National Association of Counties encourages all counties, parishes, and boroughs to recognize Operation Greenlight for veterans. And whereas Story County appreciates the sacrifices of our United States military personnel and believes specific recognition should be granted, therefore, be it resolved with designation as a green light for veterans, Story County hereby declares October through Veterans Day, November 11th, 2022, a time to salute and honor the service and sacrifice of our men and women in uniform transitioning from active service. Therefore, be it further resolved that in observance of Operation Greenlight, Story County encourages its citizens in patriotic tradition to recognize the importance of honoring all those who made immeasurable sacrifices to preserve freedom by displaying a green light in a window of their place of business or residence.
Thank you for that. Yeah. I also realized we did a little backwards, but I'm glad to hear that now. With that said, Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions or comments for Honey about this resolution?
No, sir. Thank you.
Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this? Is there any public comment regarding this item? Not seeing any public comment. Again, thank you for reading that, Honey. I probably should have had you read it after we approve the motion, but I think we're still fine. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Oh, I just have a quick question for Council. Is the way the item is agendized and presented is November 7th through 11th, and the proclamation itself is more traditional with the NACO approach. Does that cause an issue if we go with October through November 11th, or? Are we okay doing that, or should we keep it to November 7th?
I don't really see it as significant, but I think as we have it agendized from November 7th through November 11th.
Right. May I clarify quickly what I probably should have specified? I am asking to be able to light up the courthouse, and I should have separated out the light up the courthouse from November 7th through November 11th that week. But then the resolution to designate Operation Greenlight for the county as a whole for businesses and residents is from October through November. And I should have broken that better in the title.
So want to make the motion October through November 11th as for the county as a whole, and November 7th through November 11th for the courthouse.
To light the courthouse. Okay. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the declaration of October through Veterans Day, November 11th, in support of Operation Greenlight for Veterans, and further to light the courthouse and potentially other county buildings on the dates of November 7th through 11th.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you for that, honey.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 10, is to recess to convene as the Story County Water and Sewer Board, bringing us to item number 11, which is discussion for possible action, consideration and possible approval of bid for Story County Water Storage Tank Maintenance Contract, and possible award of this contract to Resource Development Company for the amount of $1,107,969 over 10 years. I believe Mike Northan's taking this. For Keith?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the same bid proposal that was presented to the commission on September 20th and was approved at that meeting. Council indicated that this bid would need to be approved by the, or conditionally approved by the Water and Sewer Board as well. So it is presented here for your consideration. And with that, I'll be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike about this?
No, I have no issues. Thank you.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mitchell?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Nor do I. With that, let's go to public comment. Is there any public comment regarding item number 11? Not seeing any public comments.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, if you're ready.
Barely. So I'll do the best I can. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the bid for the Story County Water Tank Maintenance Contract and award the contract to Resource Development Company for an amount of $1,107,969 over a 10-year period, subject to review and approval by the County Comptroller and DA's office.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, moving right along to item number 12 is to adjourn to reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners, bringing us to item number 13, which is for discussion and possible action, consideration and possible approval of the TRI public-private partnership audit and authorization for the comptroller to convey the combined annual outstanding vouchers eligible for reimbursement in the amount of $3,713,428.69 for fiscal years 2020 and 2021.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
If I may, I'm going to recuse on this action for discussion or for voting, as I hold a pecuniary interest in the subject matter of the action. Thank you.
Noted. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. All right. Is Comptroller McCain going to handle this?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Jennifer McCain for the record.
All right,
I also have Connie Christensen on Zoom if we have any questions. She completed the audit for fiscal year 20 and 21. I need to note that this audit does include the $4 million credit in connection with stipulation 4 for the vouchers waived in recognition of the county's waiver to try in the construction of the additional fire station and the park. This audit also reflects the removal of the fire district sales tax revenue per the legal opinion of our DA's office and in agreement with Connie Christensen. As of 6/30/21, the outstanding vouchers were $34,353,469. I'll never get used to saying those kind of numbers. As of 6/30/21, the vouchers eligible for reimbursement total $6,118,193. Fortunately, during fiscal year 22, we paid an additional $2,404,764, which brings our current amount due to $3,713,428. Unfortunately, I only budgeted $3,300,000, which means making this entire payment in full, we will be over budget $413,429 in the TriPayback Fund. Upon approval of this audit and the payment, we will make the necessary augments to the budget due to prior year end. And if you have any questions on the audit, as I said, Connie Christensen is here to answer any of the details.
Thank you, Comptroller McCain. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Jennifer or for Connie?
I don't believe so. Thank you.
All right. I don't have any questions either. Connie, thank you for taking the time to be here. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
Let's go to public comment and see if the public has any questions about this. Is there any public comment regarding the TRI public-private partnership audit? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Sure. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve the TRI public-private partnership audit and authorize the comptroller to pay the combined annual outstanding vouchers eligible for reimbursement in the amount of $3,713,428.69 for fiscal year 2020 and 2021.
All right, there's a motion. I will second that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. One second, we have Connie asking if she may make a comment.
Oh, no, sorry, go ahead.
No problem. So there is a motion. I've seconded that motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. What was that comment you wanted to make, Connie?
I just wanted to thank the county staff for on the record for their assistance in completing the audits and getting the information together. The COVID things have been a little challenging, and they've been very helpful in doing things remotely and very responsive to my requests. So I just wanted to publicly acknowledge my appreciation for their assistance in completing these audits.
Well, we appreciate hearing that. We know we have a hardworking team, and it's good that it's backed up by outside sources. So thank you. All right, moving right along to item number 14, this discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of change order 3 to PWP-ST-2022-054 Courthouse Paver Project. This change order addresses the prevailing wage requirements of NRS 338.020 and provides funds to pay the laborers on the project the difference between their regular rate and the statutory prevailing wage rate in the amount of $28,535.05. I guess we should welcome back Commissioner Gilman first before we move any further. And with that said, Mike, you going to take this?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike Northen, Operations Projects Coordinator. As noted, this item addresses the prevailing wage rate requirements for the Courthouse Papers project, and this will be the final payment for this project, allow us to close the project out. Contractor provided detailed wage and hours reports for all of the workers on the project that showed the hours worked, their regular rate, the required prevailing wage rate for their respective job classifications, and the difference between those amounts. We did review those reports, found them to be reasonable and accurate to the best of our knowledge. And with that, I would be happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Mike?
No questions. Thank you, sir.
All right. Vice Chairman Mitchell, do you have any questions for Mike?
I don't have any questions either.
All right. Nor do I, Mike. Thank you. Let's go to the public. Is there any public comment on this item? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
Yeah. I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to approve change order 3 to PWP-ST-2022-054, the Courthouse Paver Project, in the amount of $28,535.05 to comply with the prevailing wage requirements as set forth in NRS 338.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Moving on to item number 15. This is discussion for possible action. For consideration and possible approval of business license second readings A through N, as in Nancy. any of my commissioners have any questions regarding these business license readings?
No questions.
Nope.
All right. With that said, is there any public comment regarding the second reading of these business licenses? Not seeing any public comment. Vice Chairman Mitchell, would you care to entertain a motion?
I move to approve the second reading of business licenses listed in our agenda as A through N I don't have the agenda item in front of me.
That's all right.
A through N. Under agenda item number 15. Thank you.
All right. So there's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to item number 16. This is the second and final option for public comment. Is there any public comment today? All right, not seeing any public comment. We're going to move on to item number 17, which is adjournment of all active and recessed boards on the agenda. It is 11:04. I want to thank everybody that has joined us today, and this meeting is adjourned.